tap tap, a tap tap, wham bop tap, a tap tap. Gold Mary in the bag, tied around my neck for my protection. I'm walking around, big old sack on my back, coming in your direction. What kind of tea do you like? I got it. I'm the medicine man, herb from the land, yeah. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Hey, rosemary, calm your nerves, got peppermint leaf to get rid of my fever. I keep periwinkle to get some love now. Whoa, I gotta hug me clothes to make my backbone strong. Gold cola tonic for my blood, dandelion for my bone, y'all. I can leave to keep away flies. Hot lady cayenne for my pressure. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Get the children out the way now. No, you can't smoke this, sir. This is for salad. Yes, salad.
Recording in progress.
And good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of To Your Health, a program designed to not only inform, but to also to turn your life and health around. I'm Dr. Theodore Watkins, the host of To Your Health, and I'm here with my able assistant and producer, Frank C. Smith, who carried the load for the last couple of weeks while I was mending, and I'm glad to be back with you. You know, we just finished a series, The Health of a Nation, Exposing Hidden Healthcare Crises and Cost. As usual, our goal was to show that you're taking charge of your health by radically changing your lifestyle is well worth it. We talked about disturbing health statistics. Despite spending over $5 trillion weekly. Last week, we had experts, Dr. Edwin Chapman and our own Joni Eisenberg to discuss the worsening state of our public health care system and suggest community initiatives to augment and even replace it. Today, we have returning one of the our renowned guests and stakeholders in taking charge of your health, Dr. Meir Snyder. Brother Frank, would you tell our listeners the few listeners who are not familiar with this giant man a little bit about Dr. Snyder?
Sure, Doc. Dr. Meir Snyder was born blind in 1954 due to a congenital cataracts and was permanently certified legally blind. Despite his condition, he never gave up on his dream of gaining sight and began practicing eye exercising using the Bates method at the age of 17. Through his diligent practice, he was able to recognize visual objects for the first time in his life within 6 months and read print without glasses within 18 months. Today, Meir holds an unrestricted California driver's license, and his vision continues to improve. Meir developed his own method of self-healing through body work and movement, which has helped tens of thousands of people worldwide. He is internationally respected therapist and educator and the founder and director of the School for Self-Healing in San Francisco. In addition, he is a renowned author on like subjects. Muir has received numerous awards and honors for his work, including a PhD in the healing arts and recognition as one of the top 10 most inspirational Israelis. He continues to travel the world teaching and sharing his unique approach to holistic health and self-healing. I present to you the renowned Dr. Snyder.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, welcome, Dr. Snyder.
It's so nice to be on your show. I'm very, very happy with the work that you're doing in helping people to think about their health. One of the most important things that happens is that our potential for better health and the brain potential for rehabilitation have not been yet discovered. Do you remember, doctor, that you told me about a group of people who lost their memory and had to be held with a ribbon to walk with them?
Oh, yes.
After they walked for about 3 miles or more, they were able to start and remember things. I had a case like this in Israel, because I had a visit in Israel not long ago, of a lady in her 90s. Too bad nobody should lose their memory that early, but she did. And not only lost the memory, she didn't know who her son was. Mm-hmm. And there's always a step on the way. For example, I got her to walk forwards and backwards. She has a wonderful caretaker. I wish that everybody could say it about their caretaker. She was able to walk forwards and backwards. And before you know it, she knew who her son was. Mm-hmm. And it took her some time because first she thought all the apartments in the hall were her apartment, right? But it took some time and she knew where that her apartment was hers as well. So it's amazing what circulation can do. Yeah. And circulation can help you rebuild your brain in many ways. I'm talking about one session, but there's a bunch of other sessions. And I wanted to tell you about...
This was in one session?
In one session.
In one session. That's amazing.
Well, 3 hours, yeah?
Yeah, well, hey, please, give me that. You know, Dr. Snyder, one of the things that's amazing to me is we hear stories like this, and yet we'll go right back to the old slop, you know, as if this could happen to others, but not, it can't happen to us. Tell us a little bit, how did you get started? I mean, you got your sight, you know, I mean, how come you weren't just satisfied with just seeing yourself? What prompted you to go out and travel the world, and start helping people to regain not only their sight, but regain their health?
You know, what's interesting, you and I are on the same spiritual path. We hurt when the world is hurting. And it's so important for us to see things getting better in the world. That's why I have a wonderful, small, but wonderful training course here, where I teach people how to work on themselves and how to help others. When I started to say, other people have to have the same capacity, the same ability. And it was so important for me to say it. And I want to tell you about two of my last best cases. One lady came to me already several years ago, and I didn't took much notice of her, but she was in her 80s. She was a cancer survivor. She had face cancer that was treated with laser and chemotherapy. And she had bleeding in her retina. You probably heard about those quite a few times. Membranes in the retina, bleeding in the retina. And she took a six-day class with me, and she brought her wonderful daughter, who was a therapist herself. And we both worked with her. And John, my partner, worked with her. and her membranes disappear, and the retina became completely clear.
Wow.
But then what happened to me lately really boggled my mind, because what I do, I find myself being more a teacher than anything else. I teach people the method with which I think they should work on themselves. So listen to this. This sounds very physical. You as a surgeon probably will believe it's very physical. And this is that, you know, we have two leads, an external lead and an internal lead. And she came to me and she said, you know, I'm going to have a surgery where they graft skin for my external lead to save my internal lead from disintegrating. And that's where you have most of your muscles. Well, the muscles is what I worked on. So she went with me in a class through the exercises, saw me privately. I knew, you know, seeing her age, they have to be slow and shore a little bit less, and then she gets a bit more. And you know what surprised me? She gave me a call on my way out of Israel when I was in a taxi and told me that she went to the top plastic surgeon in a major hospital in Israel, plastic surgeon of ophthalmology, and he checked her inner lead and he said a surgery is absolutely not indicated.
Wow.
So she repaired her inner lead with blinking exercises. I could not believe it when I heard it. That's the latest improvement that I had with clients that really bugged my mind. I still have to explain why, but whether I explain it or not, she have been able in her 80s, after cancer, after blinking the retina, to prevent it. What surprised me also, that ophthalmologist, unlike others, was very curious about my work, because most of them aren't. So that was a very good thing that happened. The other thing that I want to tell you about, it's written a new book, which is a book on vision with 43 writers. I don't remember the name of the book. It's
Seeing.
The World of Seeing, exactly. And maybe Jean, you can pick a book and tell me exactly if it's The World of Seeing. I think with these 43 authors, I just submit an chapter there. And the name of the book.
The New World of Seeing.
The New World of Seeing. Yeah, exactly. The New World of Seeing has 43 eye practitioners that write there. Anyway, the case I wrote about, I'm going to see that girl when my training course is over in the beginning of September. I met her when she was 2.5 years of age. And I think I told you this thing about cataract, that you have to operate cataract in a very young age. You have to operate it when you are before the age of 8 weeks. Otherwise, the brain starts to believe that you'll never be able to see it.
Mm.
Okay? And so it was interesting. That was my case, because my surgeries were done when I was 4, and they were done very wrongfully. They made all kinds of experiments on my lens, and it became all scar tissue. But in her case, the surgeries were okay. It just that they discovered her cataract, in spite of the fact that she's in Germany, in a first world country, and in a very nice, affluent community. They didn't discover their cataract until the age of 11 weeks. Wow. And by then, they missed the opportunity to prevent her from becoming blind. And so she was legally blind in a sense that she was able to see something, but she didn't pay attention to her visual sense. She paid attention to her hearing. She paid attention to her cognition. Very smart girl, but not to seeing. Because see, the age of 8 weeks is the last minute where you can actually operate a case of person who was born with obstruction to their vision. That's when the brain wants you to see. If you don't see, you become blind for life. So I worked with her and her mom. I want to tell you, her mom is one of the most devoted parents I've met in my life. Mm-hmm. She came to 5 different places in Germany where I was teaching. She met me first in the Black Forest of Germany when I was teaching there. She went to France 3 times, once to southern France, twice to Paris. She went to Canada, where my partner is. And then she is coming now 3rd time to San Francisco. She even went to Israel long before the war and met me there when I was teaching classes there. So anywhere I teach, she's coming. And we worked. And she had nystagmus, pretty bad nystagmus. And one time I decided, after that lady came to me to so many places, I'm going to her home, which is 2 hours from Munich. And we worked and worked. And first time in her life, at the age of 8 and a half, she could see the number of her house. Then she saw that her neighbor had a number. She said, I did not know our neighbor has a number in their house. And after that, she was looking at flowers and starting to count the petals. And her basic legal blindness disappeared. She now has 60% vision from far and 75% vision from near. And she's not totally normal, but she is getting there. It's one of those cases that started to see worse than me when we start and will see way better than me when we finish. I can see that happening. She's just an amazing kid, but her mother really surprised me in her devotion. Not all parents are that devoted.
And how old is the young lady now?
She's right now 10 and a half, and she is now visual. I mean, the difference in legal blindness and sight isn't only in the acuity, in how well you see, but how much you use what you see. And she's using a vision now, and we achieved it over hard work, over years upon years. But we were able to change the brain from a brain that ignores vision. You see something, but you don't pay that much attention to it, to a brain that sees. And I understand that, because I myself, until these days, sometimes feel my way, which is wrong for me. I need to look more. But it was so easy for me to feel, to be in the world of Braille and forget my vision. But I'm using my vision. Obviously, I drive and use my vision. But I still, when I do a landline, I still, when I dial, I sometimes don't look at the numbers. But what I want to say is she moved from that place of not looking, listening, comprehending, to a place of seeing. That was the brain achievement we had with her. And that's big. See, the brain can build. There are those molecules that build the brain. And the brain can become bigger. Of course, it's easier with a younger child. But it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy to move her from a place where she doesn't look to a place where she will look and has modern vision. Remind me of this guy who was born with cataracts. His father was born with cataracts, just like me and my 2 children. And then they did a surgery it was all successful. He had 38% vision. Then they decided to put artificial lens in his eyes. I always say, if the first surgery succeeded, don't do the second, right? They removed, they put lenses in his eyes. His right eye had 5 retinal detachment and he became blind. And his left eye had pressure, a glaucoma pressure. But he still had vision there. And I met him when he was 18. First time, after the age of 8, he was able to see light in his right eye. We did blinking light in the dark. But what happened is we improved his vision from 38% to 80%, 20/40 vision. And now he's driving and he's finished law school, you know.
Oh, wow.
So we were able to do that with him, but he was still seeing. In her case, it was moving from legal blindness to much more normal vision. So those are the most impressive cases I've seen lately. And you see, it comes from the fact that people don't understand the value of deep relaxation of the eyes. And that is something you ought to practice if you're about to see better. They don't understand how important it is to not escape the sun, but use the sun. I mean, all of medicine tell us, run away from the sun. Medicine is wrong, very wrong. So the idea is to adapt to the sun and to accept the sun and to do it with the correct exercises, like closing the eyes and moving the head from side to side. Most people are not aware of the fact that they don't pay attention to their periphery. Mm-hmm. And we have to start and pay attention to our periphery. And I'm looking now at the computer, looking at you. Your house looks marvelous, I must say. You look great, by the way. It's always nice to see you. But I have to pay attention to the wall behind the computer, to the ceiling above, to the table below. Most people don't do that. If you didn't pay attention to the periphery and you were in the jungle, you'd be eaten by an animal. I mean, and what happens to us today? By ignoring our periphery, we get glaucoma and people lose the field of vision. Mm-hmm. And then we don't pay attention enough to details. And what is the leading cause of loss of vision these days? Macular degeneration. Mm-hmm. People lose the ability to look at details after losing the interest of looking at details. Wow. You don't look at print because you're interested in print, unless it's choreography or something. You are interested in the contents. But being interested in details is so important. And we lost a lot of what people used to do in the past. They used to look at the distance to pay attention to their reality. They lost that interest. What's the result? Cataract. They do cataract surgeries all the time. So I think that it's very, very important for us to start and use what you have. And I'm so happy that I was invited to New York. You know, I once upon a time did workshops to your station, WPFW, right. And it was wonderful. And you were very instrumental and very helpful for that. And of course, I cannot be grateful enough to Johnny Eisenberg that push for the whole thing and move for the whole thing. That was wonderful. But I haven't been back east for the last 5 years, you know, since the pandemic and all that. Now I'm going to New York, Muncie, Spring Valley, New York, and I'll be teaching a workshop there. So I really hope that those people in D.C., I know it's not next door to you, but it's a little bit closer than San Francisco.
Yes, right.
It's not exactly walking distance, but it's a driving distance. So if anyone wants to learn about all those principles of natural vision improvement, we have 1 day only for men on the 14th, Sunday the 14th of September, and 1 day only for women. The interesting thing here, Dr. Watkins, I teach everyone everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
Israel, I teach many Arabs and many Druze and many minorities. They are my clients. They are my students. Here, I'm going to a group of people that I philosophically am not exactly one of them. I like them anyway. I love them. And they are Hasidic people. So they only do a 1 day for men, and they only do 1 day for women, which is, you know, their right to do it their way. And so I will teach them. So if women want to come, they can come on the 15th of September. And if men want to come, they can come on the 14th of September to Spring Valley, which is New Jersey.
You know, I'm very familiar with that community. Matter of fact, I spoke there. I've spoken there several times. And you're right. It's definitely a Hasidic Jewish community. They walk, I'm Seventh-day Adventist, so I'm there on Saturdays, and they're walking to church every time I go there, and some of them actually came to hear me speak. I was very, very impressed. The mayor of the city came, you know.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely. So I'm very happy to be there. I'm
going
to
be there September the 14th and 15th.
Right, 14 for men, 15 for women. I'm available, of course, to meet people privately there. But the point is that I want to teach all communities everywhere. They're very open. They're very nice. They're looking for changes in life. I really think that people should open up the fact that all kinds of good things can happen to them if they exercise them. The brain can improve, vision can improve. And so it's so important for me to teach people what's possible. And therefore, I feel sometimes a lonely wolf in the dark. I mean, you're such an exception, Dr. Watkins, because even people who believe in holistic health, few of them believe that eyes can improve. You know, they revere conventional ophthalmology that is so pessimistic from the 1800 on. Well, I tell you, eyes can improve. And by the way, just to tell you in advance, I'm in the process of finishing my book, Taking Back Your Back. Taking Back Your Back. And it's all on back issues. And I hope to be in one of your fundraisers when the book is up and offer the book to people for support of your station. But I really put a lot of energy in there. I have a wonderful editor who helped me to work on that book. And it is simple. And we use the mind, we use the body, and we really try to advocate for people to not take medications to numb their pain, but to take away the reason for the pain. Same thing if we turn to the vision. So many people these days have eye strain and tension, and they don't even know why. And with simple exercises of looking at the distance and details there, of relaxing the eyes, they can prevent that tension that happens to more and more people these days for the fact that they look so closely at the computer.
Oh, so a person who has, quote, normal vision,
mm-hmm.
in order to do preventative, we talk about preventative medicine, preventative vision, how much time would they need to be spending during a day?
If your vision is normal, then you need to do a workshop of a day or two to understand all the importance. And basically, you need to spend half an hour a day, if that much. But once your vision deteriorated, there is work to do, basically. And from the moment that you start to have glasses, from the moment that you start to not see well, you have to understand that this is a slippery slope and it can cause deterioration. Before you know it, I met, for example, a girl at the age of 10 that her vision was 20/100, which is 40% of normal vision. We improved her vision to 20/25, 95% of normal vision. But it took a lot of work because schoolwork with a tense eye leads to deteriorating eye. Mm-hmm. And so we had to undo the schoolwork she's doing. And she's doing a lot of work. She's doing outer curricular and things of that nature. But she's diligent. She's a very, very beautiful young Indian girl with a wonderful family, treats me very nice. And we together went to an optometrist after we had a session here. And I've shown him the exercises. He looked at her, looked at me, and he said, she does not need me, she needs you. So that was a very good feeling.
He was a smart man.
Yeah.
That was 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. We're talking to Dr. Mir Snyder. It just, you know, I could just sit and listen to him all day. But if you have a question or comment, give us a call, 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. So, Dr. Snyder, when one of your most difficult cases, what would you say that was?
Well, it was a case of somebody who came to me complaining that she's legally blind in her right eye. She only sees colors. And that she's also legally blind, but has vision in the left eye. She sees 20% of normal vision, 20/200. Okay. So I sat down with her mother and we were chatting. And as we were chatting, she saw the 20/100 line, 40% of normal vision. The mother said, we went to all the doctors in Canada. She came to San Francisco from Alberta. And none of them could get her to see 20/200. I said, well, none of them got her to relax. So when she relaxed, she was able to see it. And then we went to a dark room and I patched her left seeing eye and had a lamp blinking. And as the lamp was blinking, she could see the light and the color. She told me that she could. That I expected. But I waited for a while. And after 3 minutes, she was able to see the lamp itself. Now, that surprised me. And then we continued with that stimulation. And then she was able to see my two assistants in the room and her parents. And I rolled the ball, and she could see the ball and roll it back to me. And it's the first time at the age of 18, she was able to see. I said, well, that's too good. I took her with that patch to the trampoline. She was very uncomfortable, but she was very athletic. So she bounced on the trampoline, and sooner or later, I throw her a ball and she threw it back to me. Then we walked in the street and she was reading signs for me. Mm-hmm. And what it ended up being is that that eye was not blind. It was lazy. A lazy eye basically is an eye that the brain does not use. So we were practicing uniting the two eyes, and her vision improved from 20/200 at first, right, to 20/30, 90% of normal vision, because we woke up the lazy eye, didn't let the other eye overwork, and the two of them started to work together.
That's fantastic. 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Let's go to our phone. Just call her. You're on the line. Just call her. All right. So that's amazing to me. And this happened in a very short period of time, I'm gathering.
Right. I mean, the discovery was in the first session, but that session built up 20 other sessions to work on it, you know?
Right.
The discovery was one session, but then you had to start to work on uniting the two eyes and getting her to get used to the fact that she sees with that eye, because for her, it was mind-boggling. Here, she thinks she's blind in that eye, except she sees color and light. And there, I get her on the trampoline, she bounces, she catches balls, throw balls, and all of a sudden is able to function well. So it takes time to get used to it, you know?
All right. Well, let's go back to our phone. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Yes, hi. Thank you, WPFW, and thank you, doctor. My name is Cole.
We're having a problem. We can't hear the caller.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
can you
hear you now?
Okay. How are you all, WPFW and doctor? Thank you very much. My name is Kofi, and right now I'm wearing glasses for reading only here when I'm doing paperwork. I have progressive glasses, which I hate because I'm having a hard time to adjust my head in order for me to see what I need to see here when I'm reading here. Anything I can do to get maybe another pair that's not progressive glasses?
Okay, so Kobe, let me tell you a couple of things. First of all, thank you for calling. And second of all, I'm very much against progressive glasses. I know that they're the thing of today, and they're being recommended by many optometrists and ophthalmologists. But when you look far, you have to ignore 2/3 of your glasses. When you look to the middle distance, you have to ignore 2/3 of your glasses, And when you read, you have to ignore two-thirds of your glasses because you cannot pay attention to what you see from far when you look from near. So unless you drive and you want to see a map while seeing the signs, that's one thing. But my recommendation is that simple. Have glasses from near and glasses from far. Take my workshop in Mansi Spring Valley, and you will be able to eventually get rid of your glasses altogether if you choose to put the time there, basically.
Okay. Okay. Okay, thank you. Once again, you said your workshop. Could you repeat that again, please?
My workshop is in Palace Hall, 575 Chestnut Road, Spring Valley, New York. And you can definitely call our school at 415-665-9574 or contact our website at www.self-healing.org. And you would be able to find everything about that workshop. And I really recommend you take it because, you know, the dependency on those glasses. First of all, what I'm telling you, I know you paid a lot of money for the transitional glasses. They cost more than the others. But get rid of them. Work with the ones from near and the ones from far, and then learn how to improve your vision, as it's written in my book, Vision for Life, and come to Mansi. I've not been back east for so long, and it's an opportunity to all the wonderful listeners of WPFW to come and to see me in person and work with me.
Thank you very much, you, because I hate progressive. I hate them with a passion.
Me too.
Once again, the number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. You know, it's amazing to me that we have the potential to recover our vision, and vision is so important, but we have to spend the time to do it. We have to invest in doing it. I had a gentleman on a few weeks ago now, I guess it's about a couple months now, who was blind, who had very bad hypertension, kidney failure. And I told him he had to, you know, get on this diet plan. Matter of fact, I even called you about him. And he had to walk an hour and a half a day. And he did it. And this morning when I talked to him, his blood pressure, when I first saw him, his blood pressure was 217 over 117. This morning, his blood pressure was 116 over 62 with a pulse of 59.
Wow.
Wonderful. And he's on no medications, all right? But I'm hoping he's listening because he's the kind of person I think would do the work to regain his vision. But the number here is 202-588-0893. Let's go back to our phone. Just call her. You're on the line.
Yes, Dr. Watkins.
Yes.
Yes, hi. This is Barry.
Yes, Barry.
I'm so glad you're back in the saddle again. I was somewhat worried about you. I was sending up prayers for healing your way. Brother Frank did an admirable job in your absence, but it's a good thing that you're back.
That's why I took my time, because I knew I had somebody who I didn't have to rush back, you know? But go
that
ahead,
is
Barry.
Amazing. The reason for my call is to speak with Dr. Schneider because of diabetes. I've had seven surgeries on my retinas to attempt to attach them, and the end result after seven surgeries is I'm totally blind the right eye, and I have 20/600 vision in the left. It is my desire, and I won't give up on it. I won't rest until I'm able to do so, is to drive again. I thoroughly love driving. I've always enjoyed it. And that's my one mission in life as a 60-year-old man at this point in time. Having said that, I would like to know, when is the next, seminar, on the East Coast that I could participate in, to attempt to gain, enough vision to be able to drive in the state of Maryland, as you well know, probably, if you have at least 20/40 vision, you can, obtain your license to drive.
Yeah, it's interesting, to just, bring up that point. I don't know how it is in Maryland, but in California, if you have vision of 20/200 or better, they do with you a vision driving test, which means you would drive on the road with an examiner, but not for 20 minutes, but for an hour, and that includes freeway. And if they think that you can drive, they can give you a temporary license or for a year or two. I can see us getting there in a case like yours. And as I'm saying, I am going to teach in Spring Valley, California, New York, Spring Valley, New York, and it's going to be in Chestnut Road, 575 Chestnut Road, Spring Valley, and you have all the details in our website, www.self-healing.org. If you want to send me a personal letter, you can write to office manager at self-healing.org. And we allow people to register. As I said, the workshop for men is on Sunday the 14th. So you can come to that workshop, start the exercises. Then obviously we're going to have to work privately in a complicated case like yours to first of all improve the vision in the eye that sees, and see if we can at least get some light sensation in the eye that had so many retinal detachments and so much work. I mean, I have a similar case to yours, but from a different perspective. I met with a person who was in the war, and he had a sharp shrapnel that went to his eye all the way from the front to the back. I advised him, like other doctors, to keep the shrapnel in the head, not to try and remove it. And there was a wonderful doctor who was able to flatten his retina. And we were working, and we got from light and shadow. We did a lot of light therapy in the blind areas to get to the place when he is able to see big letters with that eye. So that was a very encouraging improvement. So you have to think about at this point, how do I get to 20/400 vision? And then how do I get to 20/200 vision? And then how, once you get beyond that, maybe to 20/100, you can see if you can get a test that in spite of that, you can drive well and be back on the road.
Barry,
okay, I'm inspired by that.
You're super diligent, and diligence is required to overcome most diseases, even your vision back. I mean, just look at Dr. Snyder. I mean, diligence brought him his vision. He learned the tools and he worked them. And you're an example, Barry.
205-888-0893. Let's go back to our phones. Just caller, you're on the line. Yes, caller.
I read where if you use castor oil drops in your eyes, it will dissolve the cataract. Is that true?
Look, some people believe it's true. I don't. I think you have to understand what cataract is. It's not an external thing that comes to the eye. The tissue, the lens cells start to crowd. And that's because we don't look as much at the distance as our ancestors used to look. So you can try it. if I were you, I would try also a serious diet, like with Dr. Watkins, to see if anything metabolic could help your eyes. I definitely would love to see the case where it does the work, because I would love that to be the case. But castor oil cannot damage anything, and it's good to try it, but I don't believe that. I think eye exercises can make the difference.
Mm-hmm. Eye exercises, and one of the other things that's very, very good is those cruciferous vegetables that are high in the lutein and zeaxanthins, and they definitely will help to improve the vision and improve cataracts.
Yeah.
So once again, Dr. Snyder, give us the number where people can call and get information about the event.
415-665-9574. Again, 415-665-9574. And we'll be glad to give them, and they can look at our website and register with the website, and we can give them directions and all that. So, again, I like to announce, you know, I haven't been back east. I used to go to D.C. and then to New York.
We need to get back here in D.C.
To Boston. I wasn't back east for so long, and it's, in a way, a different way of me coming to back east, going to the Hasidic community. But nevertheless, I'm going back east. So anyone who wants to see me in a distance that makes sense to you can see me there.
Fantastic, fantastic.
Give the website again.
The website is www.self-healing.org.
And what's going to be the time of the actual seminar?
Yes.
9 to 5. 9 to 5 Sunday, 9 to 5 on Monday. So 9 to 5 to men on Sunday and 9 to 5 to women on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic, fantastic. Well, this has been, you know, as usual, an excellent presentation. I'm always inspired when I talk with you. And Frank, we're going to have to do some work and get him back here in D.C. because seriously. I mean,
yeah, I know.
there are people out here who need what Dr. Snyder has. And, most people are not given hope, but Dr. Snyder gives you hope. And so we need to get him back here. And so we're going to do everything we can to accomplish that.
I had a wonderful receptions in the past in D.C., which was wonderful. I just want to say something so important, that much of what we see is the concept of seeing rather than just a physical act. If you take a look at the mechanism of sight, the thalamus basically blocks 90% of what comes to our vision before the vision gets into the occipital lobe. The thalamus blocks it. And so most of the work on the eyes is really work on the brain. And it doesn't only help the eyes, it helps all other functions in the brain. We always think about how functions in the brain are separate, but in some ways it's a closed circuit. And if you improve one part, you can improve the rest of the brain. So it's so important to understand that. Again, I'm baffled by the fact that this late 80s old lady comes to me and then calls me so enthusiastically to tell me that she doesn't need to do any grafting from her external eyelid to the internal eyelid. That's just for the exercises we did. That was amazing.
But and the lady with the dementia.
Yeah, that was amazing, huh?
In her 90s.
All of a sudden, she could remember her son's name for this time. It was fantastic to see it. She could remember where her apartment is. I mean, it was just a very nice moment to see that that's what happens. And it's so easy to allow people to lose their memory. You have to get them to have more blood flow. You have to get them to have more circulation. And that's how you translate your love to them. Don't be frustrated with them, but help them any way you can.
Brother Frank, any parting words?
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Snyder, and thank you, Dr. Watkins, and welcome back. It's good to have you back.
Good to be back.
Both of you, for sure. We also want to thank our engineers and Mayuki Williams, who did a fantastic job helping us reach our pledge goals. She's the acting general manager. Katia Stitt, we thank you for being the program director. As always, we want to thank all the WPFW staff, engineers, programmers, volunteers, and loyal listeners. Thank you, Joni Eisenberg. And by the way, Dr. Snyder, she says she still gets calls for you. she refers them to you.
I will never forget, there was one show where Joni and Dr. Watkins and Marsha and some other friends of
mine were on that
studio. And you collected, I don't know, $15,000 or something.
Yeah.
I remember going to the post office with piles of books, and all the clerks in the post office had to speak to the audience. It was fantastic. So I'm a very, very happy supporter of your station. And the fact that this station has a wonderful, wonderful two people like you, Frank, and like Dr. Watkins, is a big, big thing.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Snyder. Thank you, Oladare Maccabee, for your music contribution. Stay tuned to WPFW, Jazz and Justice Radio. Next up is African Deep Thought Edition with Brother Kaba. After that, To the East with Ambrose Lane Jr. Listening again next week at 2 o'clock Mondays. For another life-saving broadcast of To Your Health.
Salamata. Eyes are eyes, and a vegan, we're vegan. I and I eat from the earth and leave the animals to give birth. No deaders, no fur, no feathers. When I tell people I don't eat meat, fish, or dairy, then look for me strangely. Then I realize I eat a very wide variety. Listen to Maccabee. Yo, how when me eat, them I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish, no meat now. How when me eat, them I wonder when me yum. When me tell them, say that I'm a vegan, man. How when me eat, them I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish, no meat now. How when me eat.
WPFW presents Labor Standing in Solidarity, Monday, September 1st, a day of programming centering the concept of collective action and mutual support among workers to achieve common goods and protect their interests, turning rights into reality. We will also offer analysis of labor's role in global inequity, imperialism, and genocide. From 9 a.m. until 3 p.m., hosts Julian Malveaux, Joni Eisenberg, Elise Bryan and Chris Garlock, and Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash bring you the voices of workers and those organizing throughout the labor movement. From 3 until 11 p.m., we offer a sonic reflection of labor in solidarity provided by our all-women DJ collective meeting in the ladies' room. Workers' rights are human rights on your station for jazz and justice. WPFW, building a better world. One broadcast at a time.
Are you ready to move, groove, and exercise with the WPFW family? WPFW's annual 5K Run Walk for Total Fitness happens Saturday, September 13th from 8 a.m. till 1 p.m. This fundraiser will be held at the Bladensburg Waterfront Park, 4601 Annapolis Road in Bladensburg, Maryland. In addition to a scenic 5K trail, fitness and wellness classes will be offered. lively music to fuel your participation in the activities, along with water and healthy snacks, will be provided. Details are at WPFWFM.org or call 202-888-5484. There's something for everyone to enjoy. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here are some headlines for this hour. The president of South Korea, Lee Jae-myung, arrived at the White House earlier today for a meeting with President Trump that has covered a range of topics as both leaders have commended one another for their leadership. With regard to leadership, President Lee told Trump that Trump is the only person who can improve relations with North Korea. He said, and I quote, "I think you are the first president to have so much interest in the world's peace issues and actually make achievements." And he added, "If you play the peacemaker, I will actively support you as a pacemaker," end quote. President Lee told Trump he'd like for him to meet with North Korea's leader, Kim Jong-un. To this, Trump said he and his administration look forward to meeting with him, noting that today's conversation with Lee would likely help towards that goal. In their meeting, Trump also questioned President Lee over a reported raid on churches in South Korea. Lee said this was part of investigations into the country's former president, Yoon Suk-yeol, who was impeached after declaring martial law last year. Kilmar Abrego Garcia, who was wrongfully deported from Maryland to a notorious prison in El Salvador in March and then brought back to face criminal charges, was taken into ICE custody today after an immigration check-in. The check-in with ICE enforcement in Baltimore, Maryland, was part of the conditions of his release from federal custody on parole on Friday. After his release on Friday, Garcia was able to reunite with his family, but he was also informed of ICE's intention to deport him to Uganda, which is in line with the Trump administration's policy to deport some people to countries that they've never been to. According to Mr. Garcia's lawyers, the Justice Department is threatening him with a deportation to Uganda in order to make him accept a guilty plea. The Trump administration has said that if Garcia pleads guilty to the federal charges out of Tennessee and serves time, he can be deported to Costa Rica, where he can live as a free man. President Trump has signed an executive order that his administration says will create specialized National Guard units to, quote, deal with public order issues. Currently, more than 2,000 National Guard troops have been deployed to D.C., and they can now carry guns. Reportedly, the National Guard is permitted to use force, quote, only as a last resort and solely in response to an imminent threat of death or serious bodily harm, end quote. Meanwhile, two other cities that the president intends to send troops to are Chicago and Baltimore, highlighting the crime in both areas. However, leaders in both of those cities have spoken out against a potential National Guard deployment. In Maryland, Governor Wes Moore formally invited President Trump to visit Baltimore and encouraged him to, quote, come be informed and come be educated, saying that if the president came and spent time with the people on the ground doing the work, he would not only see the progress, but also the devotion that all the leaders have to making sure that Baltimore's communities can improve. Also, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson said, and I quote, "There are many things the federal government could do to help us reduce crime and violence in Chicago, but sending in the military is not one of them," end quote. It's back to school time for students across the United States. Today, more than 52,000 students and 4,800 teachers returned to D.C. classrooms, starting off the new school year amid heightened security and political tension over the federal crime crackdown. Some families welcome the increased law enforcement presence, while others worry about unnecessary stops and immigration enforcement. Mayor Muriel Bowser urged D.C. Public Schools family and staff to leave the politics to her and to focus on a positive start to the school year. Regarding the academics, recent test scores show that students in both public and charter schools are making strong gains in recovering from pandemic learning loss. English proficiency has reached a record of 38%, while math scores have climbed.